Good morning, you wonderful consumers. This is Barry Miller in studio with your consumer guy, Larry Stanley. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Barry. It's another great day to talk real estate.
It is. And in studio also with us is Sherry Cinnamon. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It is, and we are, and we will be, gentlemen and ladies, today with you wonderful listeners. You know, we have our top three commitments here, and it's always for you as a home seller and for you as a home buyer. Sure, number one that we talked about 2 weeks ago, fair, flexible, and negotiable real estate commissions in all circumstances. Number two, maximum 90-day listing and buyer agency contracts. And today, number three of three, trustee, loyalty, and fiduciary level services to and for you all the time. Yes, all the time. And by the way, if you have any comments, any questions about this, you can text or call us during the show, email us, text or email us. You could text at 303-888-3788 or email us anytime during the show at truth@barryandlarry.com. Easy as that. Larry, just that overview, share with our listeners how many homes you've sold and purchased and mention, they were not investments. You didn't buy five in 1 year and then go 10 years. Talk about that, how many states, and what you saw, what you experienced in those, well, I know it's 23 plus experiences you had with different agents that were supposedly on your side. Talk to us about that.
Well, okay, first of all, I've purchased 11 homes. I've sold 10 of them, lived in every single one of them. I moved around a lot when I was younger and had no brains, but I lived in seven different states, and Barry, my experience with most real estate agents is that they were more interested in their own issues than mine. And it was very difficult. I only had one or two really fiduciary level real estate agents in my life.
When you say interested in their own interests, and then you pop up in a minute and say, well, one or two or only two of them had fiduciary interests. You know there are miles and miles of illegalities apart from each other when an agent is taking care of their own interests. Oh, I need money. You know what, agent? Go get a job somewhere then, because it is not important what your needs are when you are a trustee and a fiduciary of the buyer or seller. So they're miles apart. Well, can you fill the gap as a consumer a little bit about those feelings or what effect it had on you that only one or two out of 23 or four acted on your behalf?
Well, and let me go a step further. I had to fire two real estate agents, even though the contract doesn't allow for firing in the middle of the contract. I did, and I said, if you want to sue me, sue me. I don't care.
Good. You had that right. The form, obviously, whatever state you were in there. What, you purchased in seven different states?
Yes.
Yes. Whichever state you were in, including Colorado, it wasn't in the form by itself. Consumers can put that in there. All of our listeners know that. We might talk a little bit about that this segment, Larry. But anyway, so that wasn't there. And that's why I say, let's do some math.
Yeah.
You purchased 11, sold 10. That's 21. But I knew you fired two. So that's two more. So 20 out of 23, you only had two that you say sort of, I mean, more or less, took care of your interests.
That's right. In fact, the first two or three, I was so inexperienced and young. And I mean, the first house I bought, I was 22 years old, Barry.
Okay.
Yeah, I got just played by real estate agents, and it was frustrating for me because I didn't understand what was happening. And, you know, a lot of people go through that. People generally are a little older than 22 when they buy their first house, but it's still a difficult experience if your agent won't take the time to explain what's going on.
So that was one of the big things. They didn't explain
That's right.
what's going on. Go ahead, Sherry.
What are some other defining factors?
Well, some of them, they wanted me to take the first offer we got on the house.
When you were selling, describe what role you were.
I was a seller. Okay. They wanted me to take the first offer, even though it was below the asking price, and I wanted the asking price or a little closer to the asking price than the offer was, but they just wanted to have a contract done and finished and collect their money.
Now, this is not a leading question. We don't telegraph things. None of this is rehearsed. Larry didn't even know we were going to talk about this before we start. Well, until we started, until you were asked the question. So I want our audience to know that. What feelings did you have they were after? They were after you to approve something so that it would go quicker, I guess. But did you have other feelings, suspicions, or pretty much clear?
Well, I thought it was all about money. They just wanted the money faster, and they didn't want to do any work.
Didn't they offer to negotiate that price, or did they just encourage you to accept it right away?
My experience with agents negotiating prices is not very good either. Quite frankly, the negotiations usually gets $1,000 or $2,000 more, and that's it.
Now, let's talk about that. Until the 1990s in most states, there was no negotiations. It was illegal to negotiate until, in Colorado, about 1982, a good part of the rest of the country, not till about 1992. And this is not defending the ineptitudes, laziness, and lack of negotiating skills in 2021. But until the early 1990s across this country, there was no negotiating. It was illegal. Why? Because by law, that's not quite true, but that's what people wanted to say. By practice, by the daily practice of real estate in all 50 states, all agents represented the seller. We won't go into how bad that was, how faulty it was, who caused that from the 1920s and 1930s, and even a little bit earlier, but it stayed with us for over 60 years, and it was a terrible system where the buyers had no one helping them legally. So, in the 1990s, Larry, and you were buying some homes in the 1980s and 1990s. There were no buyer agents. So, in fact, there couldn't be negotiations. But in about 92, 93, 94, the 48th, 49th, 50th state, they all developed their forms and approved buyers having a buyer agent. And then all of a sudden there is a more equal playing field, and then there's negotiating. Have you purchased homes since 1992?
Good question. Yeah, yes, I have.
Okay. And no different feeling?
I've purchased at least two.
Okay. Any different feeling? Are they the two agents that were your top agents?
One of those was one of my top agents.
Okay, good.
But that's because he was a retired military person who just wanted to have fun helping people who were buying homes.
Yeah, that was in him. And he also knew that in that stage, like Sherry here, she's 23 years as a licensed. Well, that's 1997. The laws were in effect. The practice was in effect. Both sides could have a negotiator. So the experiences of the last 25 years would be the most telling ones, because since then, and in that 25-year period, actually almost 30 years now, the buyer has a representative. That was not the case prior to 1992 in most of the country. It started here in Colorado in 1982.
And by the way, when I figured out that was the case back in the 70s and 80s, it just drove me crazy because, you know, I'm paying all this money to buy a house and I don't have an agent who's representing me.
Yes.
What kind of hogwash is that?
And Larry, they were to be your representative on the seller side.
That's right.
Okay, and you did have all of those experiences. 100% of them on the seller side were to have been your trustee, your loyal business friend in that transaction. Loyalty, 100% of the time, and definitely your fiduciary. And Larry, to this day, too many sellers have the same feeling, even in 2021, that the agents are not their loyal servant is really what it's all about. Professional servant. So there you have it from the consumer point of view. We're going to get into this in a little more detail from the profession, from the standards of practice, what you should expect as a home seller. But before we do that, and before we take our first break, it's important we say, coming up soon, Larry, there is a boot camp. And the boot camp is coming up when and where and what's its cost. Larry, you, the consumer guy, get to share that first today, and then we'll take our first break.
Well, let's see how good my memory is. It is March 6th that we're having the boot camp from 10:30 to 12:30. It is absolutely 100% free to you, the consumer.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday.
Yep.
And all you have to do is either email or text us, and we will arrange for you to attend. We do have to follow COVID restrictions, so not everybody who may want to come will be able to. It's a first-come, first-served basis. So to text us, dial 303-888-3788, and to email us, go to truth@barryandlarry.com.
And speaking of COVID, because we follow all the COVID protocol rules and regulations, we are limited to 23 people. We do have spots for 7 or 9 people right now. And so get your reservation in. And by the way, yes, Larry and I, we are business partners. Larry had COVID. My wife and son had COVID. I had COVID all in January and early January, and we're not rid of it yet with a symptom or two lingering, but we have not been contagious now for a couple of weeks. But just in case you're wondering why you haven't heard from us, I was down with COVID and it brought us down a little bit. Thank you all you wonderful listeners for listening. Today's theme is trustee, loyalty, and fiduciary. Level services all the time when you are a home seller. We're focused on you as a home seller today. We're going to take our first break, and then we're going to come back with Barry's World talking about trustee, loyalty, and fiduciary. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's meant to be a wonderful world when you are a home buyer or a home seller. Oh yeah, sometimes in your life you have both roles, but they are distinctly different roles for the real estate agent. In each one of your roles, however, the agent is obligated to be your trustee, loyal to you 100% of the time, to you, 100% loyalty. Not a little bit of loyalty, 100% loyalty, And those combined are because of the laws that we've had in this country, which came to us from Germanic, English, and actually ancient Roman law that says you can only serve one master. Now, I'm not getting into whether the master is a he or a she. It's a person. You can only serve one principal master at a time. That's the fiduciary legal obligation that agents have unless they say, oh, I'm a transaction broker in Colorado. I don't represent you. That's this ridiculous law that we have in Colorado. And they are basically not your agent. They don't have to be trustworthy all the time. And they cannot be 100% loyal, or they are breaking the law and will lose their license. And they know it. And they're not your fiduciary. So the big thing here is all of this trustee talk, loyalty talk, and fiduciary talk is based on the 4,000 to 6,000 to 8,000 year old law of the real estate agent can only serve one master. And if you're the seller, you're the master. When you're the buyer and hire an agent, you're the master. And by the way, when you hire an agent, automatically they are your loyal servant. If they do not clarify that they, that licensed person with a real estate license, if that individual does not clarify to you so you clearly understand it, that they are not your trustee, they do not have to be 100% loyal to you. They do not owe you fiduciary level services, and therefore they're a transaction broker. If they do not make that clear to you, and you've had that experience anywhere recent years, get a lawyer. Sue that agent for the commission because you have been skunked and taken advantage of. That's how clearly distinctive and, yes, rather black and white these words are: trustee, loyalty, and fiduciary. They are distinct level of services that are required to be given to only you when you hire a real estate agent to be your listing agent of your property, and that's what we're focused on today, the seller side. But it's also just as true when you are the buyer. So there's Barry's world.
Barry, isn't it also true that even if you don't have it in writing, by what a third party may ostensibly believe, you could be in a position where you're perceived as agency, and couldn't they prove that in a court of law?
It's easily proved in a court of law. And by the way, in the 1980s, when we were fighting the National Association of Realtors, but not really, we were fighting the big real estate companies who were protecting their in-house deals where they had both agents, you know, working both any side just to make double commission, all that sort of stuff. And supposedly everybody, by law, the ancient practice, worked for the seller. When that was the case, it was very easy. These lawyers were cleaning up. They would just say, here's the key question in court. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, how do you know the agent was yours? Well, they said they'd take care of us.
There's that third party.
That's not third party.
I'm asking, was there a third party?
There doesn't have to be a third party. The agent said to the consumers, I'll take care of you.
Well, and you are the professional. So that's the way I believe a judge is going to look at it. You're the professional. And if you said so, you better be representing them.
But then you get third parties. Mm-hmm. Oh, in comes the inspector. Hey, Inspector. Hey, you inspected the house. Oh, yeah. The sellers were there, and they kept saying, my agent said that we, you know, could be here while you're doing the inspection. And the third party said, absolutely. That Mr. and Mrs. Seller said, they kept referring to, my agent said this and that. And then you get other people involved in the transaction. Oh, the title company. Hey, let's bring in a witness from the title company who handled the closing. And the closer person says, oh, sure. Yeah, the seller sat on one side with their agent. The buyer sat on the other side with somebody. But yeah, the sellers kept referring to their person as their agent.
Yes.
And that's third party. It was clear then. It's actually clearer now because the practice and the forms and the disclosures have changed. And all for the improvement of whom? The consumer.
And that's true. That's true. But what I'd like to add is that even though we do have these forms, even if you don't have it in writing, what can be seen or witnessed ostensibly by a third party, you, an agent, could be in a position where you're considered agency even without that written piece of paper.
Oh, of course. And it is based on whose perception and whose knowledge? The consumers.
Absolutely. It's all about the consumer.
The consumers say, yeah, they said they would protect me. Yeah, they said they'd take care of me. They said, don't worry about that item of the transaction. I'll take care of that for you. Yeah. That's what agents do. They take care of you, Larry, the consumer.
Oh, they took care of me, all right.
Did they help you understand, though?
But let's be realistic. Some agents are very, very sincere about their trustee, loyalty, and fiduciary level services. Two of them I'm sitting with at the table right now. But unfortunately, most real estate agents really don't believe that they have that responsibility.
And as we're going to hear, Larry, I did have a preview of your view this week. They're going to find out that most agents have some other things, too, that your thunder is coming up after the break.
Let's
spend a minute or two, Larry, on a very important item you said. Many agents do it correctly. That's what I heard you saying.
Yes.
What percentage of 100% of the agents do it correctly?
I'm going to guess it's between 5 and 10%.
Sherry, do you want to stick your neck out and say this?
Stick my neck out. I would hope that at least 60% would. I know that they want
even,
to.
Six? You said six, right? Because if you said six, you're close to accurate.
Okay.
60, not even.
Yes.
Not even. When you hear Larry's view, now I had the advantage of seeing his view, and Larry's saying 5 to 10. You know what? It is somewhere between 3 and 8%. There have been surveys done on this.
Oh, have
time
I?
In and time out. 3 to 8%. 3 to 8%. And you know what? They are the agents that all you listeners should hire. We're in what studio? Where are we?
We're at RE/MAX Masters Millennium at the Mount Elbert Studio.
The Mount Elbert Studio. How many agents here know how to be and are trustworthy? They are trustees. They are loyal. They know fiduciary level services from non-fiduciary services. About 105 right now. And they're good agents. And there are other RE/MAX agents across the state and country. And there are some Coldwell Banker agents. And there are a few, very few, Keller Williams agents. And there are other agents in small and medium-sized companies that know how to do this. You consumers do have an obligation to find those good agents. By the way, you want to find out how to do that? This was not a lead-in. I didn't know we'd get this deep into it, but Larry, you did. You took us there as the consumer guy. You'll find out at the boot camp how to interview and questions to ask. And you know what? Sherry and Larry, in Larry's view, in his segment, let's bring out some of the questions so that our listeners can figure out easily how to select one of these top agents, because you want the creme de la creme when you are a home seller. You want someone who is your trustee and knows what that means. This is Barry Miller with Sherry Cinnamon and Larry Stanley here, and we have a big, big boot camp, two hours of great information free, teaching you how to be the smartest, savviest seller on the planet. Come and be there. It's free Saturday, March 6th from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. Email us at truth@barryandlarry.com or text us for your reservation at 303-888-3788. This is Barry Miller saying we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back to Larry's view and include it in our dialogue. Larry, let's insert time so that our listeners can hear how they can find and interview and hire a trustee, a loyal servant, and a fiduciary agent. All right, we are back, and we're having quite a good discussion about the deliberate, the intentions of agents and companies to be or not to be your fiduciary level agent. Larry, you have a view that says don't be foolish when hiring a seller agent. Tell us about your full view today, please.
And my tip for the day, Barry, is most real estate agents do not even know that fiduciary duty has a meaning that's important. Since real estate agents by law in all 50 states have to be your fiduciary when they represent you as a seller, when you are selling your home, you should really be sure that the agent you hire knows what being your fiduciary really means. What does it mean? Furthermore, have this agent put in writing that he or she is going to be loyal to your real estate wants and needs 100% of the time during and after the transaction. That's my view.
Well, you actually hit fiduciary right succinctly and right in consumer language. Put in writing that you're going to be loyal to me 100% of the time during and after the transaction. That is how consumers view it.
In my experience, as bad as they are during the time that they're representing me selling my house, they're worse as soon as the contract closes. They don't want anything to do with me.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, my experience is I'm gone.
Well, what? We don't say what. Well,
trustee means, as an adjective, whether you're, a fiduciary means you are a benefactor or a trustee properly. And as a verb, it means that you are my beneficiary. All of my education, you're the beneficiary of all my education. I'm supposed to come as a loyal representative to take care of you.
Yeah, you have to. It's what the law says. So let's help our listeners find one of these good agents, because there are hundreds of them in the Denver metro area. Hundreds of them. Okay, Larry, a couple questions you think should be asked.
Well, the first question I'd ask is, how do they look at representing my needs? What are they going to do to meet my needs and requirements?
So you're gonna skip over whether they're going to represent you and just say, hey, what are you going to do to represent me?
Well, I'm not skipping over it, Barry, but I want to know what they're going to do, because that tells me if my interests are there.
Okay, now most consumers have not been to the boot camp, so they don't know what to expect. I know what they hear, and it sounds good, Larry, but it isn't fiduciary level services that too many agents spout. So what should the some of those answers be then from your perspective as the consumer guy?
Well, before we do that, I was going to raise one more thing that I would like to ask each agent, what does fiduciary mean?
There you go.
Because I'll bet you most agents really don't have the slightest clue.
Well, I just gave you the definition, a beneficiary and a trustee.
And then how I would ask it is, what does a being, what does, I'd look at the agent right in the eye and say, the eyes really, and say, what does, you're my fiduciary, right? See what they do. And I mean, most of them might say, yeah. What does that mean to me in this business transaction? And I don't want the platitude of trustee, beneficiary, I'm going to help you. I want to know, I like that, but I want to know the details. And that's where Larry went. And that's where consumers go.
And I think as an agent, you have to find out what it is your client needs and then describe how you are going to be their fiduciary, how they're going to represent you. They're going to be there for you 100% of the time for your needs.
Sherry, that is bingo, win the day word reward. George with Groucho Marx, you just win the $64 or $100. Why?
Can I count on that?
Because the situation is, until a fiduciary knows what the objective of the seller is, you can't be. So the best agents will answer that question
by saying, what is it that you need and want? Where are we headed? What is your goal? And then I can describe it.
That's right. And that hits the mark. Larry?
One of the questions I would like to ask, Barry, is that when I get an offer on a house and I decide to reject that offer, how is the agent going to react to that rejection?
Well,
My experience is it's not good.
Well, you already have hired the wrong agent if you don't know how they're going to react. So, Larry, that's interesting. That is all covered at the boot camp. And we got to just encourage you, please. It's only, less than a month away. It's only a couple Saturdays away. It's really an outstanding, fun thing. You get great handouts. You learn how to be a very, very savvy seller. Learn how to be a savvy seller, even if you're not looking to sell for a couple of years. We're going to take our last break. We're going to come back with some weekly data updates. Sherry, I'm going to ask you to do some summary work on this. And we have Mike Rabin with us. He's going to talk about the loyalties that lenders have. And he is one who is very loyal to his customers and their reverse mortgages. We're going to hear from Mike and Sherry and some weekly data update when we come back from this break. Okay, this is Barry Miller with the Barry and Larry Show here for you as home sellers and home buyers. We're going to get into some data very, very quickly. Wow, I could be as quick as the market is short. What do I mean by short? Look, the median price is still going up. It's approaching $520,000 for a single family home in Denver, Colorado. It's over $405,000 for the same single family home in Colorado Springs. But here's what I mean by short. There are only 2 days of inventory for homes between $300,000 and $400,000 in Colorado Springs. Hear that? Only 2 days of inventory for homes between $300,000 and $400,000, and $400,000 is almost exactly the median price. In Denver, between $300,000 and $400,000, there are 4 days of inventory. And then our median price in Denver is a little over $500,000. In that range, $400,000 to 400 to 550,000, 6 to 7 days of inventory. It's a heck of a market out there, and you have to be prepared. You have to be with a top agent. That's why I come to the boot camp on Saturday, March 6th. Sherry, you've heard a lot today. I know the data I kind of squeezed in and got it in quickly. Couldn't have time for comments, but we want to hear from you on your eye opener on the topics that we talked about today, and really the key topic. What is your eye opener?
Well, thank you, Barry. Today's eye opener. Did you know that when a transaction has been completed, that some elements of the fiduciary relationship continue? Did you know you should trust and know that your agent must never disclose your personal information without your written permission? That a great agent is always loyal and never discloses your motivations for regarding a sale, and that only great agent asked as your trustee give you loyalty 100% of the time and act as your fiduciary during and after the transaction of selling your property.
So Larry's motivations when he was a seller were to be kept what? Strictly confidential.
Strictly confidential. Well, yes, in most cases, yes.
Wait, whoa. If they're their agent, it's 100% of the cases.
Yes.
That's what you meant.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, well, I wasn't.
Well, the sure. Motivations should always remain.
There you
go. That should always, because we're not going to disclose that, because that can impact your ability to be able to negotiate as a seller. And if you're representing the seller, every time you open your mouth, you're representing
the seller. So you better keep their motivations silent. Larry, do you feel that those whatever 9, 10 agents that supposedly were helping you sell your home, how did they keep your motivation secret?
You know, I get the feeling that the answer is probably no, Barry. I can't say for sure in some cases, but I don't think they really gave a hoot about me.
One of the things about top agents is you will know that they give a hoot about you, because in the interview and your interview with them, they will say, and your motivations are confidential. It's best, by the way, consumers, do not give your motivations away in an interview until you're comfortable with that agent. Because the agent knows how to use your motivations against you so that they will become your agent. Don't telegraph or give your motivations early on, if at all, in the interview. These are things that come out at the boot camp, but I'm wanting to give it now and say, be careful, be cautious. You know what we said in our smart home buying book? Only give your name, rank, and serial number until you know you trust and want to hire that agent. Now, that's military talk, name, rank, and serial number. That's all we're obligated to do under the whatever that big international code was, or something that I learned in the Army, et cetera, if we were ever captive, but captured. But in any case, be protective of your motivations. So, Sherry, that's great observation. And then you say the agent stays with you, and they must remain loyal to you even after the transaction closes.
Even after the transaction closes. You may not always want anybody to know where you're moving, what the motivation was. There's a lot going on in our lives, especially
now. So confidential. So that is. And there's a lot going on in our listeners' lives, and a lot of it has to do with money. And wow, can a listener, if they're 62 years of age or older, can they have some good monetary options? I think they can.
They can.
We know they can, and who can help our listeners with that? No one better than Mike Rabin. Good morning, Mike. reverse-mike.com. Thank you, Mike, again for being here, for making our listeners better informed. Larry, any closing words?
All I can do is tell people reverse mortgages can work miracles for your financial health during retirement.
Sherry?
And let's not forget the boot camp March 6th between 10:30 and 12:30, a Saturday. Please text 303-888-3788.
And listeners, please, I apologize publicly. The COVID has been tough on my family. I'm okay. Our son is okay. My wife is still struggling with it. It's been quite a struggle. We are here. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye for now.